This is Who's Talkin' on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talkin' is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, Kindred Spirit Brewing, Car Lots Auto Consignment, TheSaber.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma, Hilltrump Moving and Storage, Town Bank of Richmond, Kelleher Heating and Air, and the Virginia Athletics Foundation. Special patrons of Who's Talking are Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Oh, welcome. This is Hobbo alongside Frank and Darren Franto. Franto, we appreciate your joining us tonight. Wahoo fans, ACC fans, talk radio fans, sports fans, somebody who just accidentally tuned in, you know, wherever you are and whoever you are, we appreciate your listening tonight. Got an exciting show. We're in that transition phase between football and basketball, and the guests reflect that, and Frank's going to tell you who we have on tonight.
We got a great show tonight. John Copper, former UVA middle linebacker. He led the team in tackles, I believe, three consecutive years. Real student of the game, will join us in the first segment. He'll be followed by Ortho Virginia's Dr. Glenn Kerr, always very knowledgeable about the injuries and the issues going on with getting the players healthy and back on the field. And then batting cleanup tonight in the third segment, we have UVA assistant coach Jason Willifert. He's a former John Marshall High School grad, former UVA small forward, and someone that Hobbo and I know very well, and we are excited that he's going to be on the show.
You know, we always say and talk about people being friend of the program. He is a friend of the program.
In fact, Hobbo tried to invite somebody else in the basketball program, and Jason said, no, he wanted to do it.
Hey, it's a feather in your cap to be on Who's Talking, no doubt about it.
Well, we look forward to him later in the show. In coming weeks, we've got Barry Park. He'll really Mr. Basketball for UVA over the years, and one of Hobbo's old buddies.
Yeah, somebody I carried throughout his entire college career.
That's why Hobbo has to have a hip surgery.
I know.
Coming
that's
up.
That's the reason I have all the bad joints. You know, he was a lot of weight to carry around.
He was heavy. And Terry Gates in a few weeks, and you know, we're excited about basketball, but football still has a chance to do some damage, and we'll be talking about that tonight.
How do we follow the show?
Well, Darren can tell us.
Well, that's right. If you want to give us a call tonight, you can reach us at 804-345-0910. That's 345-0910 here in the studio. We're streaming live if you're on your computer at foxsportsrichmond.com. And, of course, via our great sponsor, thesaber.com. Download that free iHeartRadio app. Listen on your smartphone. Check us out on Facebook. Search for Who's Talking on Facebook, and that's a great way to connect with us and sign up for our newsletter, Frank.
You know, thank you, Darren. You know, interesting weekend in ACC football for sure. On Thursday night, things got off to a rollicking start with the Blue Devils upsetting the Tar Heels. And, you know, I don't think anybody saw that coming. We certainly did. I thought the Blue Devils would give Carolina a good game. But somehow Carolina couldn't close the deal. And this will be very painful for them if they end up tied in the conference standings. And
potentially takes them out of the title game. But, you know, I mean, that's a rival game. Duke-Carolina is still a big rival game. Carolina, obviously, NC State's a rival game for them, too. But Duke, as you said earlier, is very well coached by Coach Cutliff. And while they've had a disappointing year, they're always dangerous.
Well, and also Friday, the weird Friday night game, the Seminoles beat Boston College. And then Saturday, the Wolfies rebounded to beat Syracuse. Virginia did not show up for the second half, very embarrassed about the four turnovers. But, you know, they looked very good in the first half. I thought Virginia played good, sound football and made they exposed some of the weaknesses in Miami's team. And it just didn't carry over to the second half. The Pitt Panthers, who I said earlier in the year I thought looked really good and could be a real contender, they showed their stripes, so to speak, by beating Clemson down in Death Valley and really knocked Clemson for the time being out of the top four for the playoffs. So,
well, what do they say? If you play with fire, eventually you're going to get burned. You know, Clemson almost lost to NC State in a similar way. So they just, I don't know whether they weren't ready to play or didn't see the game. Maybe Pitt played very well, and Pitt clearly has some offensive talent.
And to finish off the recap of the week, you know, Georgia Tech went into Blacksburg and beat Virginia Tech, and nobody saw that coming. The backup quarterback ran for two touchdowns and over 100 yards, and it's one of those things, who believes? I don't think anybody can explain that one. Meanwhile, the Louisville Cardinals shook off an early close game against the Demon Deacons and won going away. Now the Cardinals have ascended to the top four, and basically we'll just have to see. The next 2 weeks, anything could happen. But anyway, do we have Eric? John Copper is on the line. John, are you there?
Yeah, sure I am, Frank. How are you doing?
John, you are so patient, and we're so delighted that you could join us tonight. I know you being such a sound middle linebacker in your playing days at Virginia, I know it had to be at times cringeworthy or whatever watching Virginia just giving up 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 yards on first and second down rushing attempts by the Hurricanes. What happened? That's the first time this year Virginia really was really knocked so far off the ball. They just did not control the edges, the middle, or anything.
Yeah, well, you hit on the head. It's all about, especially against a 3-4, if the offensive line can get movement on those front three down linemen, then it's very, very difficult for the defense to work properly. And, that's what happened this past Saturday, just the Miami offensive line, not to be too harsh, but we got pushed around a little bit up front. And, definitely once you get linemen, it's one thing as an inside linebacker in the 3-4 for a lineman to get out to you. It's a completely different thing when you're having to change your path to get to the ball or get to your spot because there's a defensive lineman that's pushed back into your lane. That just disrupts the whole defense and the mechanisms the way it played. And that's what we saw Saturday, unfortunately.
You know, John, there's been some rotation of subs coming in and really helping out quite a bit. Either players were dinged up or out for the season or whatever. But, at linebacker, Jordan Mack playing outside, he's underweighted and young to be an outside linebacker, only 205 pounds. Kaiser seemed to be trying to hold down the fort by himself, and he's had a tremendous season. Zach Bradshaw has been dinged up, and they've rotated Landon Word and others in there at that position. And I thought Chris Peace might have played his best game this year at the other outside linebacker. But, how do you think the linebackers played overall, not only this past weekend, but in recent weeks?
Well, I tell you, I mean, overall, I'd say the linebackers have done well, especially given the injuries. I'm a huge Micah Kaiser fan. I watch him and tweet at him almost every game. So he's had putting a tremendous career together, not to mention just this season. The biggest thing, though, and I think one of the tales of last week, and I think what will determine how we do these next two games, is the turnover ratio. It's really, really difficult to beat a team like Miami if you lose the turnover margin. And so it's not just, grading linebackers on how they're doing fitting against the run, or they're covering passes well, but at the end of the day, what really changes games is when you have guys that can, not just put pressure on the quarterback, but also guys that can drop back and disrupt passes and create turnovers. That's something that we haven't seen a ton of this year. I think I would have to go back and look at the stats, but I think most games we've lost the turnover battle, and that's hurt us. And that hurt us this past Saturday in particular. So one thing, as these guys mature is looking forward to, you know, how they step up more in creating some of those bigger plays. Kaiser had his first interception. Hopefully that's the first of many, and then maybe this season and next. So,
John, this is Hobbo. You know, Bronco, obviously, you know, turnovers are big. That's a stat he looks at, so it's not as though they don't want to force turnovers. Is it the system, or I'm sort of hearing you say that maybe our personnel is just not good enough to compete against some of these other teams yet?
I don't think it's either. It's a mentality, and it's a mentality that goes kind of infects a team. When you look at teams that have had a significant amount of turnovers, defenses that have scored a significant amount of points or set up a significant amount of scores during a season, there's this mentality on the team that there are guys consistently that are going to make plays. And it's just this, you know, it feeds on kind of that big play mentality. And that's just something you can't really coach that. I wouldn't say that it necessarily depends on talent alone. And I also wouldn't say it depends on really what you do in practice. I mean, there were a couple of years at UVA, we did more ball disruption, turnover creation drills than anybody. But yet, as a defense, thinking 06 or, 06 and 08 in particular, we created very, very few turnovers as a defense. So it's not really something that can be coached. It's something that's something that comes out in the players and how they make plays, and it's more on an individual, but really, really great defenses.
Well, part of that, let me jump in real quick.
Yeah.
Part of this, John, in my humble opinion, stems from the fact that there's been just too many new quarterbacks inserted mm-hmm. into the starting lineup, and the reason it was announced today that Benkert has been benched. Going into this game down Atlanta versus Georgia Tech, which I believe is a 12:30 game. Yep, 12:30 on Saturday. You know, they're putting Johns in, and I had said last week that Benkert should have been benched after the Wake game because he clearly had lost his poise and didn't have any mojo anymore. He mm-hmm. anybody that's making fumbles and throwing interceptions where most of them are these weren't like slightly errant throws or tipped balls. These are balls where he's thrown them into double coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And the turnovers that he made this past Saturday, not reading the blitz off the end and getting hit from the blind side, is an awareness situation. You've got to know, I don't have a running back or a tight end on that right side, and he's looking to throw to the left side. I know I've got to get rid of the ball, click, click, click. And he held it, and boom, that guy hit him. And he got hit on another play where he's looking all over the field like he thought he had 10 seconds when he only has 3.5. And his arm was going forward, and the referee correctly ruled that it was an incomplete pass. But he also had a fumble later trying to go around the end. So he could have easily had 3 fumbles by himself, which is unbelievable for a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you this question. Watching the 3-4, and you know as well as I do that it's a complicated defense. It seemed to me at the start of the Miami game, essentially Virginia was in a 5-man front. The linebackers were lined up right on the line of scrimmage, so there was 5 across the front, and Kaiser was the only linebacker standing 2-3 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that can be used against Georgia Tech in that option offense?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things about playing an option offense, the 3-4, while it wasn't designed to play against the option, it came about in the NFL, but if you were going to design one, if you were going to design a defense to play against the option, the 3-4 is it.
Really?
So I'm looking forward to what's going to happen this weekend and what the game plan is. We generally had good success in my years playing against the option with the 3-4 because it's balanced and because you don't have to make major adjustments regardless of the way the play goes. Whereas a 4-3, a 5-2, a 4-4,
yep.
All of those defenses are unbalanced and they either have to learn balance.
fly during the game, which the players just aren't used to.
Well, it sounds to me that clearly with the backup quarterback being a really good runner for Georgia Tech and having such a big game in Blacksburg, there seems to be some sort of mysterious illness to Thomas, the regular starter down there. I read on a lot of websites, it still hadn't been announced what the injury is and why he didn't play for Georgia Tech. So preparing for him, they're only going to have one game of film to look at to know how to attack him. What does Virginia have to do to sort of cover this thing and stay in the game early and get used to that option?
But it goes back to their preparation prior to, I mean, we always, in camp in August, and I don't know if they did that this year, but in camp in August, we always spent a few days on the option leading up to it. But again, the advantage is that we've got a defense that works very, very well against the option, regardless. You know, that's one of the things. My high school team, we ran the option. And one of the things is it's not player dependent. While you can have a good player or maybe a player that's a little bit different style, the offense is really run on a system. So honestly, I wouldn't look for the system to be that much different than what they've been running, therefore the preparation to train dramatically regardless of who they have in the backfield.
That's an interesting point. All right, last thought, and then we've got to go to break and send you on your way. But how do you think Coach Mendenhall is going to treat these last two games by starting Matt Johns most likely in both? I think we lost him.
Yep. Sorry, we lost him. Well, we're going to go to all break right. Anyway.
Let's thank John.
We thank John Copper for joining us. Yeah. We're going to go to our break. And don't forget, when we come back from break, we'll have Dr. Glenn Kerr of Ortho Virginia joining us for the injury report. Stay tuned. You're listening to Who's Talking.